night. Our brother John Phillips will be back home tomorrow, and if Herbert can get him, get in touch with him, perhaps we'd like John to take the service on Wednesday night and bring us a word of ministry, make full use of him while he's here. So you pray for that, that Herbert won't need to twist his arm too severely to get him to minister to us on Wednesday night. If John can't be here to do it, then I'll fill in. But we just hope that John will be able to give us a nice word of ministry. Now let us get back tonight to the book of Ruth. I hope you haven't forgot what we said about it in the previous times we were at it. Tonight we're going to read in chapter 2. Now look at the chapter first of all. It looks a fairly long chapter, 23 verses in it. But I make no apology for reading the work. And while I read through this chapter tonight, this is what I want you to do. Think of it not simply as a historical record of something which happened to Ruth and Boaz, Naomi, but I want you to let your mind run along this line as we're reading it. This is a message to you and to me. And I find sometimes in the scriptures being read that it brings a thought to one person entirely different from what comes to another person. Your need may be met with something here that I may pass over. And then what meets your need may not influence someone else. And so as we read through the scriptures, just feel it's a message to you and see what there is in the chapter to meet your special need at this time. And then after we read the chapter, I'll give you a few thoughts that may help you. Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her harp was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and have come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvests. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of the chapter. Now you remember the circumstances now. This all happened in the days when the judges ruled. No king in Israel. Every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. But we saw from chapter 1 that a change had taken place in the family circle. At the end of chapter 1, it's very interesting to go back and see what this woman, the widow Naomi, said. For when she came back, Verse 20 of chapter 1 says, And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, that is pleasantness. Call me Mara, means bitterness. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? A very, very sorrowful exclamation. She's now taking note of the fact how she went out, and you remember she was not responsible for going out. Elimelech, her husband, was responsible for that. He went out, took his wife and his two sons. She came back without her husband, without her son. She comes back with the two young widows, at least, part of the way. Then you remember, there came the great point of decision, where one of those young widows goes back to the land of Moab, and she comes all the way with Ruth. So you have Naomi and Ruth who return. But she's saying, I've come back in bitterness. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. That's at the end of chapter 1. Notice what we read at the end of chapter 2. Verse 20 of chapter 2. And the Omai said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And the Omai said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. The end of chapter 1, she's blaming the Lord for all the bitterness of soul she's been called to pass through. And now at the end of chapter 2, she's blessing the name of the Lord and blessing the very thought of Boaz and the kindness that is now being shown to her. She went away at the time of famine. She comes back at the time of barley harvest. And if you recall, just at the close of our last study, the book of Ruth, I pointed out that barley harvest is the first of the harvest. It comes first. Then it's followed by the wheat, the corn, and so on. It's the beginning of the harvest. It comes in just at the time at the Passover, coming on to Pentecost. And so therefore it fits in with some of the feasts of the Jews, the time of harvest. And they would bring in the first sheaves from that harvest, present them to the Lord. She comes back at the time of harvest. And I suggest this, it's a good thing, even if people have drifted away from the Lord, when they come back, it's always at the time of harvest. The Lord never fails. But now you'll notice that while at the beginning of chapter 1, the focus is on Elimelech, the man who belied his name. His name means, My God is King. But instead of letting God be his king and his director in life, he did that which was right in his own eyes, and it proved to be the wrong thing. And he went away down to the idolatrous country of Moab. And giving a bad example to his family, his two sons married two girls from the land of Moab, idolaters. And then there comes the bereavement and the bitterness. But now when you come to chapter 2, the focus goes on to someone else. Our eyes are directed now to one who is called Boaz. And it seems the Spirit of God directs our attention to him right in the first verse of chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, not hers, her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz means strength. Strange thing. That's one of the names that was put on one of the pillars of the temple. Boaz. But here the man who is the kinsman redeemer. He's introduced to us right in verse 1 of chapter 2. And the focus now is going to be on this great kinsman redeemer. A wealthy man. A rich man. An owner of land. And right from here to the end now, it introduces the great thought of redemption. Now that should be interesting to each of us. If it wasn't for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, where would we have been tonight? If it wasn't for the fact that there's a kinsman redeemer introduced here in the book of Ruth, I wonder what would have become of Ruth. Remember, she was a stranger. Not only a stranger to Israel, she was a Moabitess. And there was a curse upon the Moabites. A Moabite could not be received into the congregation of Israel until the 10th generation. Brought up in idolatry. Yet this young stranger, she comes along, a young widow. And in these days there was no widow's pensions, no state relief. A widow was at the mercy of the world. she comes in, she certainly, she needs a Redeemer. Having then our focus on the Redeemer, Boaz, the writer takes us on step by step to show us how Ruth is brought into a perfect association with the Redeemer. At the end of chapter 1, you see her brought over, she follows on with her mother-in-law, and she comes into what we might term the Redeemer's fold. She's no longer living on the other side of Jordan over in the land of Moab. She has come over to Bethlehem, the house of bread. She comes into the Redeemer's fold. But now when you come to chapter 2, she goes a step further and you find her in the Redeemer's field. That's what we're introduced to here in verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now at that point, she didn't know that she was going to the field of Boaz, you know. She didn't know anything about Boaz until further on in this chapter, when he found her in the field. The idea of him being mentioned in verse 1 is simply to focus our attention on the fact that there was such a man as Boaz, who became the kinsman redeemer. Now, might I point out something that comes very strong to our hearts as we read this? Ruth was old enough to make up her mind for herself. Old enough to make her own decisions. That's proved in chapter 1, where she stood there and faced up to Naomi and said, entreat me not to leave thee, not to return from following after you. It was Ruth's own decision in chapter 1 to follow on and come over into the land of promise and come to Bethlehem, the house of bread. But here, when you come to chapter 2, ladies, I want you to notice this. Isn't it beautiful? Here's a young woman, a stranger, a widow, at the mercy of the world. Yet, while every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes, Ruth doesn't do that. She lays her case, first of all, before her mother-in-law, because she's living in her house. And she asks her mother-in-law, she beseeches her, as it were, says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. Let me go out and see what I can get. Now, I ask you in all fairness, on what authority did she want to go out to the field? Wasn't that taking a great risk? Now, just to try and link up some scriptures with you, turn back in your Bible for a moment to the book of Deuteronomy, will you? Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verse 17. Deuteronomy 24:17. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand. Makes it plain, doesn't it? Here is God laying down a certain principle to the children of Israel. When you come into the land now, there are certain things you'll have to do. When it comes to harvest time, and I give you a harvest, and you go in there to reap. Now, today, of course, you put in your combined harvesters, you know how they go in. They didn't do that in the old days. They went in with a scythe. They had to cut it down. Then there were those who gathered that and they bound it up in sheaves, so on. Then they had to come and collect these and carry them into storage. But suppose some servant dropped a sheaf when he's trying to carry them. If you've dropped one there, you don't go back and get that one. You just leave that for the stranger and for the widow and for the orphans. They'll be following up. They'll not go before you and take that corn. They'll take what you leave, the gleanings. But if you drop a sheaf there, don't go back for it. Just leave it for the stranger, for the widow, for the fatherless. You see how God takes care of these people. And so says Ruth to her mother-in-law, will you let me go? I'll go to any field and I'll glean so that we'll provide food for ourselves. I'll help to provide in the house. So she's going to live with her mother-in-law and she's willing to do her share and she's going to go out and glean in the field. And her mother-in-law says, all right, on you go. And when she came, she gleaned in the field after the reapers and her hap was to light. It happened that the part of the field, you see, we see fields today, perhaps there's hedges and there's fences, but there's nothing like that. There may be landmarks at the end. And that mark, that was your part there, and that was somebody else's part over there, and so on. She didn't know who belonged to what. But the particular part she went to, it so happened that God in high heaven was leading her, and she went into the part of the field that belonged to Boaz. You find her in the Redeemer's field. You see, God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the waves and rides upon the storm. And God is overruling everything in the life of this young woman. And I'll again remind you that when you come to Matthew chapter 1, you find her name right in there in the great genealogy leading from Abraham right down to Christ. And God is overruling. And he brought her right in here. And you find her then gleaning in the Redeemer's field. Now, I ask you a question regards gleaning. I suppose a lot of you have a calendar in your house called Daily Gleanings. These are gleanings. Some folk have gleaned them. They've gleaned from some men's books, gleaned from some men's writings, and they're compiled there year after year, and each morning you get a little gleaning. May I ask you, where have you gleaned? Do you glean? It's a good thing to go in gleaning. In fact, if you go in gleaning, you might find you get a great harvest, as you'll see how much she got. Where have you gleaned? Where have you gleaned today? That's a question that's asked her when she came home. Their mother-in-law is asking where she gleaned. But now not only do you find her gleaning in the field, but Boaz comes along and wants to know who she is. And when he realizes who she is, he comes in with a lot of privileges. Look at verse 9. Lest thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee, and when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. You see the provision that he's making for Ruth. Not only does she come into the field, not only is she allowed to glean as a stranger, as a widow, but now if she's thirsty, she's to be allowed to go and quench her thirst at the water that's been drawn by the young men. That was for the reapers, not the gleaners. That water was there for the workers. Now he says, you go and have your share of that. I've heard how you've treated your mother-in-law. I've heard of the decision you made to come here. Now this is my field. Stay close by my reapers, my young men. When you're thirsty, go and quench your thirst. Draw from the water that has been supplied for you. See, he makes a full provision for her. So not only can she glean, but you can get the water. He goes further than that. Verse 14 says, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and with suffice and less. That is, she had more than enough. She wasn't able to eat all that was provided for her at the dinner table. You see, Boaz has taken an interest in her, and she's going to glean. Then she's going to get that little quench of thirst, meet all her needs. And then when they sit down to have their meal, just you come in with them. I want you to come and sit at the table with them. And don't be afraid or ashamed. Take your morsel and dip it in the vinegar. Do the same as they do. And enjoy it. And while she's there, he's handing her over some of the corn. Oh, by the way, how could he hand her corn when it was only the barley harvest? I wonder where he got it. May I suggest? Some of you, I believe, if not all of you, some of you are acquainted with this, that when the children of Israel were down in Egypt, you remember the Passover, they had the roast lamb. Of course, prior to that, they had all the garlic and the leeks and the cucumbers and so on. They had their salads all the time, but then on the night of the Passover, they had roast lamb. Oh, what a change. That must have been a delicious meal that night. Roast lamb. I'll tell you what I've told you before. That's a lot better than pork. You can have your pork. I'd take the roast lamb anytime. What a night that must have been. But they didn't have the roast lamb coming through the wilderness. They had manna there. For 40 years, the Lord gave them the manna. That's a story in itself. But you remember what happened. When they come over into the land, the manna ceased. What did they have? The old corn of the land. The old corn of the land. You see, God had given sufficient and had served them right through until the new harvest was ready. Here again is another illustration. They're sitting down to eat here. It's only the barley harvest, which is the first of the harvests. First cereal to come ripe, the barley. It was the poor man's diet. But when they sit down here, why, he supplies her with parched corn. There has been an abundance. They've come back from the land over there at Moab. They heard that God had given his people bread over there in Bethlehem, and over they came. And here she's sitting down now, and she's having the old corn of the land. Now, I remind you of this, that whether it was the roast lamb or the manna, of the old corn of the land, each one of these things is a picture of Christ in one way or another. And here she's sitting at the table with the kinsman redeemer, he who will become her kinsman redeemer, and with his servants, and she's having the meal with them, and he's handing out to her the parched corn. She did eat, and they had more than enough. There was something that was left. So you see her now, she gets into the field. She's gleaning in the right field. She's getting the handfuls dropped on purpose. She's getting the water to quench her thirst. She's sitting at the table with Boaz and his servants. She's participating in the food. He's given her a little extra. All the blessings that she gets by being in the Redeemer's field. That's the place where we can glean. We have the Redeemer's field right here. And there's so many ways in it which you can go through and glean. I suggest to you, it's a good thing to glean something every day and feed your soul on this. You remember Peter suggests to us that There's a need for us to grow. He uses the figure of milk. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If you don't feed a child will cry. You know that. Often a child cries and needs food. Says the Apostle Paul, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Now that comes home to us with freshness, beloved. It's one thing for a person to profess to be saved. That's a wonderful thing. But when a child is born, you all rejoice that the child has been born and the child is healthy. You tell what its weight is, what its length is, and so on. And the child gets weighed almost every day to see that it's improving and so on, these things. You want to see the child growing. The child has got to be nursed and fed and trained and kept clean. So it is in the spiritual thing. This idea today that someone makes a commitment and you just go to the church of your choice, that's a lot of rubbish. It's not according to the Word of God. If people are saved, they've got to be fed. Fed. Fed with the true word, the sincere milk of the word. And they've got to learn how to glean, how to feed their soul. A little bit of training. And then they know how to feed themselves. And they'll let you know when they need more. And so she went in gleaning. And the day passes on, and here's what happened, verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I wonder what that means. Why does the Word of God tell us that? Does it mean anything at all as to how much she took home? An ephah? Well, an ephah was 10 omers. That was 10 times more than what a man would eat in a day. If you go back to the book of Exodus, they were to gather an omer for each person. Here's 10 times more she gleaned in a day. Oh, what an abundance. You see, the blessing of the Lord is not only full, it's full and running over. More than she needs, and she's taking it home for herself and her widowed mother-in-law. See how the Lord has provided for them. And now it brought her into connection with the man who becomes the kinsman redeemer. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave it to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? What a question. Where hast thou gleaned today? Now just suppose, that each evening at a certain hour, someone was to come to you and me and say, where have you gleaned today? Would we be able to answer? Where have you gleaned? You know, if you came home some night and your wife was sitting there reading a novel and you said to her, supper ready? Oh, no, do you think you'll need some tonight? I thought you would just do without it tonight. I wonder what you would do. Suppose you get up in the morning. Breakfast ready? No, I think we'll just do without breakfast this morning. Just off you go to your work. Yeah, you don't need it this morning. It says something strange about this. Why we need to be fed? And I believe there would be words. And in some homes there'd be more than words. You expect the food to be on the table. I know even when we were children, we expected breakfast, but go to school without breakfast. Well, there's something wrong there. And when we didn't get lunch at school, we ran home for it. And you expected it to be on the table when you got in. And you know, I can remember once in a while, we'd get home in the afternoon just after 4 o'clock. First, where's my mother? Oh, she had to go away. When's she coming back in? We expected mother to be there when we got back in. We expect to be there all the time. It's her job. She got the table set and so on. Where have you gleaned? That is spiritual food. We could tell what we had for breakfast. We could tell what we had for lunch. Perhaps you could tell what you had for supper. But what about the spiritual food? You see, if you're gleaning a little and I'm gleaning a little and you meet and you're able to talk to one another about what you've gleaned, you can ask each other some questions. Can you help me with this? I was reading this and I didn't just understand it. But then I was reading this and I got a great help from it. And you pass it on. You never lose by what you pass on to someone else from the Word of God. You know why? The moment you pass it on to them, you'll find they'll either add something to it or they'll suggest something and you find you're gaining. Where have you gleaned? That's what she asked Ruth. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Then she said, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz, the man of strength. That's where she had been gleaning in his field. And that's the time when Naomi bursts out. Oh, what a difference from chapter 1. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. See, he's been reminded that he was a kinsman to Elimelech. Now here was Elimelech's daughter-in-law left a widow. And Elimelech's wife was left a widow. But he's showing kindness now to his kinsman, Elimelech. Then he's going to become the kinsman redeemer. Not only will he buy back the property, but he'll buy the widow as well. She'll become his wife, and she'll come right into the family of the kinsman. I suggest to you that you continue reading through the book of Ruth and get the blessings of what it means to be related to a kinsman. I won't be with you next Sunday. Brother Frank will be here. I'll be way down in Augusta, down in Georgia. I solicit your prayers. We've got to leave on Saturday to get down there because it takes 5.5 hours to get there and we don't get home till Monday. So I'll appreciate your prayers. Trust the weather will be good, a little warmer than it is this weekend. Keep praying for us. Shall we bow together? Our Father, we thank Thee for another day spent with Thy dear people. We ask Thy blessings to be upon each one, upon each family. As we go home now to our different places of abode, be with us and bless us not only tonight, but throughout the coming days of this week. We think of dear Mrs. Graybill tonight, left a widow at a ripe old age. And our memories go back to Mr. Graybill when he was in the height of his ability, was able to preach the gospel and minister the word. Thank you for the times he came down and helped us when we were down in the basement. So we pray now for the widow. Put their blessed heart and many other widows like her. Be with them and bless them. We think of Mrs. Howell preparing to go way back to Africa to be exercised about the area where her husband and her were before. Be with her and bless her when she comes here a week or two to tell to the ladies here concerning the work out there in Africa. Be with each of us now and bless us each day of this week. For the Lord Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Meeting's over.